Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Amen. Go with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew in the 18th chapter. Go with me to Matthew chapter 18. We're talking on a subject. Last week we talked about it, and the title of the message is The Power of Forgiveness. There's a great power in that. Last week, just to give you a little bit of a recap of what we talked about in The Power of Forgiveness, we talked about forgiving yourself. And if you remember, the story I told is, you know, I've got a 4-year-old son and a 3-year-old daughter, and my son had come in, or my daughter actually had come in. She had a rug burn on her leg, and she was showing, kind of bragging to dad about her ouchie. And, you know, not to be undone, my son Bjorn was like, well, I got an ouchie too. And he pulled up his leg and he shows a bruise. And then because Bjorn had an ouchie, Emma pulls up her sleeve and she says, well, I got an ouchie here. And then Bjorn says, well, I got an ouchie here. And they were comparing their ouchies, their wounds, their scars. And the illustration goes to the fact that, you know, as adults, there's a lot of things that happen to us in the course of our lives. Things that scar us. Some of those scars that we have in our lives emotionally or experientially, some of those scars happen because we're self-inflicting them on ourselves, that we've done things, that we've made bad decisions, we've said things or we didn't say things. On the other end of the spectrum, though, there are scars that we carry around life that are because of what somebody else has done to us, because of what somebody said to us, because of what somebody did not say, or because maybe when we needed them most, that's when they didn't show up. And so we carry around these wounds, we carry around these scars, and if I look to the physical aspect of my own body, there's all sorts of different scars. I've got scars on my hands, I've got a nice little blood blister on my finger right now from a screwdriver that went awry. And, you know, those scars, they define us. We look at them and we remember the experience. We remember what we were doing, or we look at that and we say, I'll remember that and I'll never do that again over here. Or I was being really stupid with this and now I got a good scar from it over here. And we allow scars to define us. They become a part of us. They become a part of our character. And just like our physical scars, our emotional scars become a part of us. We carry them around, and whenever somebody or something brings up the memory of that emotional scar, whether it was a tragic event, whether it was somebody that did something or somebody that did not do anything when you needed them to do something, those scars begin to define us. They create in us the personality of who we are. But the Bible has some very important things to talk about when it comes to the subject of forgiveness. And, you know, in our day and age, we can try to do as many legislations as we can to provide people what the Constitution tells us, that every person has the right to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so we can try to legislate things so that people wouldn't hurt each other and that people wouldn't wound each other and that we could see justice amongst people. But, you know, despite legislation, despite how hard we try, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where there are some atrocities that happen every day. Some of the atrocities that happen are unimaginable. Maybe you're in this place today and you've had some things that have happened to you in the course of your life that you shudder to even think about, to speak about. Maybe it was somebody who was close to you who violated you when you were a child. There's so many women out there nowadays that have gone through all sorts of different sexual type abuses or men who have gone through all sorts of different types of abuses throughout the course of their life. You know, maybe you have a family member who walked out on you or didn't care about you. Maybe you have a husband or a wife or had a husband or a wife or somebody who just wounded you deeply, and the subject now brings up a scar tissue in your heart. And the Bible talks about the subject of forgiveness. And, you know, we understand and we know about forgiveness. We know that the Bible talks about forgiveness. And as we talked about the Bible looking at what it says about forgiving yourself, we looked at the principles of forgiveness, and I believe that as we look at tonight's message, what we talked about last week apply greatly as well to what we're dealing with this week, and the subject is forgiving others and forgiving those who have wounded you. Some of the wounds that you have in your lives in this place, as I've sat with counseling sessions, or we don't counsel, excuse me, spiritual guidance sessions, and just heard the stories of some of the people here in the church, it's just heartbreaking to see some of the things that you guys have endured. And, you know, God is not blind to what's gone on, but oftentimes there are so many things in our lives that happen that they define us, and I want to talk about that. And so we talked last week about some things about walking in forgiveness of ourselves, and we just said simply to talk it out and to walk it out. Talk it out with God, to bring your sins, to bring your guilt, to bring that anguish to God and give it to God, to cast it upon Him. To talk it out with others, to share with somebody else, to keep you accountable, to bear one another's burdens, as the Bible says, and to walk it out. The devil's going to tell you every day that you're worthless. He's going to tell you every day that you're a liar. He's going to tell you every day that you're no good, every day that you're used goods. But you got to walk it out every day, every step of the day, walk it out in what the Word of God says, that you are worthwhile, that God loves you, that He loves you so much that He sent Jesus to die for you and for me. And you're not damaged goods, but you are redeemed in the name of Jesus. To talk it out and to walk it out says we live a life of forgiveness. I believe as we look at forgiving others, those principles apply as well. But today I want to look at some deep things and I want to talk about the subject of forgiveness. And in Matthew, the 18th chapter, I'm going to read a story that Jesus tells Peter. Peter's talking to Jesus and I love it. You know, Peter asks Jesus a question and he's kind of trying to be the big man in the question. So he asks Jesus, when it comes to the subject of forgiveness, how many times should I forgive my neighbor? How many times should I forgive somebody that does something against me? Seven times? I mean, Peter's thinking like, that's pretty good. I mean, think about that in a day. Seven times. You know, if somebody comes and like, just think about something stupid, like somebody comes and slaps you on the face. Jesus, if somebody slaps me on the face seven times in a day, should I forgive them seven times? And Peter's thinking like, man, I'm holy. I'm holier than thou. Jesus' response in Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse number 22, he says, not just seven times, Peter. He says, but 70 times seven. He says, man, you can't have enough forgiveness in one day. You can't run out of your forgiveness quota. Now, that's not easy for us to get a hold of because, you know, sometimes, you know, maybe you're around somebody that they may not slap you in the face, but man, they bug you, they hurt you, they offend you, they say stupid things or they've done harmful things in the past. And every time you look at them, every time somebody mentions the name, every time you have an association, that feeling or that scar comes back up in you, that remembrance comes back up. And Jesus says 70 times seven is what we ought to forgive. He's saying that you cannot reach your forgiveness quota for the day. And then Jesus begins to tell a story. He begins to tell a parable in verse number 23. I'll read it to you. And I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. The reason I want to read it to you in the New Living Translation is because it describes the scale of what Jesus is talking about here a little bit easier for us to understand, because in the New King James, you can read along in your Bibles, Jesus talks about talents, and talents are a measurement of weight. Here the New Living Translation shows us the measurement in money in the context of the parable. So Jesus says in verse number 23, he says, therefore the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who had decided to bring his accounts up to date with the servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. All right, so this is a big time debt. This is, you know, this guy thought, you know, I'm going to strike it rich. Let me come and let me borrow a bunch of money. I got my Powerball winning ticket. I know I'm going to win. So let me just take a payday advance. And as soon as I win that $900 million, I'll pay it off and I'll pay everything else off as well. So he owed him millions of dollars, but he couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife and his children and everything he owned to pay the debt. So here this man was unable to pay the debt that he had owed. So the master decided, you know what, you are going to be a slave for the rest of your life. And not just you, the consequences go so far beyond you. He says that you, your wife, your kids, everything you own is gone. And now you and your entire family, your entire lineage is now going to be a bondservant or now going to be a slave because of the debt that you could not repay. But the man fell down before his master and he begged him, please be patient with me. I will pay it all. I'm going to win the Powerball someday. Amen. Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him. Listen to this. He forgave his debt. He forgave his debt. Jesus is given a parable. He says that he owed millions of dollars. That's nothing to scoff at. I mean, think about it. You know, they're doing mortgage reductions and home loan modifications where they're forgiving people of thousands of dollars and tens of thousands of dollars of debt because of the lost equity in people's homes. Imagine for a moment somebody that you owed millions of dollars to wiping the debt clean and saying you are completely absolved of that, and you no longer have any obligation to repay. I mean, talk about winning the lottery. There it is. Amen. But when the man had left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him, listen to this, a few thousand dollars. See, Jesus is giving a great comparison here. He's really setting the scales against the story. He says, this man owed millions of dollars to the king, and he was forgiven of his debt. Now he went and found somebody that owed him thousands of dollars. When you look at the comparison between thousands to millions, they're so in such different weights and such different scales and such different areas. And so he says he found the servant that owed him thousands of dollars. And listen to this. He grabbed him by the throat and he demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little bit more time. Be patient with me, and I will pay it, he pleaded. I mean, think about it. It's exactly the same story. One would think the moral of the story is he begs for forgiveness. Give me a little bit more time. And because he himself had received mercy from a great debt, that this man would repay that to the next person. But he goes on and he says these words, but his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. It's a trap. How can you pay off a debt when you are locked up in prison? Till it could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. And they went to the king and they told him everything that had happened. The king called the man and that he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant. I forgave you of that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me and said, shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. And Jesus says these words at the end of this parable, at the end of the story. Jesus says these words in verse number 35. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Think about that for a moment. Forgiveness is uniquely Christian. In most every other religion, most every other philosophical belief, the belief stands, and Jesus even quotes it. He says, you've heard it say, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. What you do to me, I'm going to do back to you. Equal punishment for equal judgment. And so every other system on earth believes in that form. But here Christianity comes and says forgiveness is not something that you should do. Forgiveness is not something that would benefit you in life. It's something, Jesus says it like this, to be plain, to be bold, to be blunt. Jesus says forgiveness is something that you have to do. As a matter of fact, it is part of the terms of the conditions of your salvation. Forgiveness. And the reason why is this story is a parable. It is an image. The likeness of us to God. You see, we were forgiven such a great debt, a debt that we could not repay, a debt that we could not earn, a debt that we could not we could not fulfill. We were in bondage to sin, but yet despite that debt, God sent Jesus Christ, the Bible says, to be a propitiation or to be the price of our sin, to die for us so that we could be forgiven through Jesus Christ. And because we have been forgiven, now God says it is unjust, it is unright, and it is completely contrary to Christian belief and to doctrine for you to hold and harbor unforgiveness in your heart against somebody who sinned against you. Because the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, yet Jesus Christ, God showed in the right time his righteousness towards us. And so forgiveness, it's not something that the Bible says that we ought to do. It's not something that the Word of God says, hey, you should forgive your brothers and sisters. The Bible tells us very clearly, and through the course of tonight, we'll see a couple of different scriptures where Jesus himself and Paul the Apostle and some of the other apostles tell us about forgiveness. It says you must forgive those who sin or who hurt you. It's a requirement, and that's what makes it uniquely Christian in the sense that nobody else believes in that. But you see, the great trap, the great pitfall, the great hurdle that Satan uses against us is probably one of the easiest things to do to entangle us and to ensnare us, and that's unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, hard feelings, experiences. Why? Because we carry around those scars. We see those scars, and every time we look at that scar, that emotional scar, we think about that person that might have abused you. Might think about that person that might have abused you when you were a child. You know, I hear stories of people that were abused all the way from their child until the moment they moved out of their house. Every night, abused by somebody. Every time you think of somebody's name, you think of that. Every time you hear of a story of a husband and wife, or every time you see a love story on TV, you think about your marriage that went south and how that person wronged you, or about how they were unfaithful or how they did wrong things to you. Every time somebody says something to you, it brings back those statements of that person that spoke negative into your life. And we begin to harbor those bitterness. We look at those scars and we say, that scar really hurt, and I'm gonna hold on to it, and I'm not gonna let that happen to me again. And so because of that, I'm going to hold it tightly in my hand. And as I hold it tightly, I begin to feed bitterness. I begin to feed resentment. I begin to feed unforgiveness in my heart. And it's the easiest and the greatest trap the devil has for us, because he knows the formula that the Bible says, that Jesus tells us in his words, that if we want to be forgiven by God, we must forgive those around us. And the devil wants you. The Bible says that Jesus said that the thief comes but not to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So make no qualms about it. The devil wants your life destroyed. And the easiest way to destroy your life is to feed you, or to allow you to remain the same and to live in what seems to be human nature. But Jesus says no, because through all things we can, through Christ, all things are possible. So what seemed like it was impossible, forgiveness, now because of Jesus Christ, is possible to you and I. Therefore, forgiveness in your life is not a suggestion of God. It is a commandment and a requirement of God to you, to forgive those who have hurt you. And that's hard. That's deep. You know what? It even seems downright impossible. And I think what happens when we look at forgiveness, and today when I want to take a look at what the Word of God says about forgiveness, I want to just take a quick moment to look at what forgiveness isn't. Because so often we think of forgiveness and we have these kind of myths, or we have these kind of thoughts that, well, forgiveness means that I have to do this, or forgiveness means that I must do this. And I want to talk about what forgiveness isn't, and then in contrary to what forgiveness isn't, to look at what forgiveness really is, and then we can take a look at what the Bible says on what we can do to start. And here's what I want to say. I'm going to tell you right now what we can do to start the process of forgiveness, because in the next 17 minutes, I cannot give you a formula that will lead you to forgive everything that has happened to you, because some of the things that have happened to you in your life should not even be mentioned, should not even be uttered, and the hardest letter of the law should result in death sentences to what people have done to you and against you. And so in 17 minutes, I can't absolve that. And as a matter of fact, nobody can except God. But what we can do is lead you to the place in the Word of God where you can start the process of forgiving people around you and the things that have happened to you today. To start climbing that mountain of forgiveness that we often need to climb. So today I want to look at what forgiveness isn't and what forgiveness is. All right, forgiveness. First, number one, it's not numbers. I don't do numbers, but one of the things that we see that forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. Forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. You know, somewhere along the line, we got this statement confused with the Bible. You know what the statement is? Forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. Somebody hurt you, forgive and forget it. Forgive and forget it. Forgive and forget it. You know, the Bible tells us that the Lord, He takes our sins, He takes our transgressions, and He casts them into the sea of forgetfulness. But you know, as humans, we don't have that divine ability. We don't have the divine ability to take what's happened to us and completely forget it. Forgiveness is not forgetting what happened to you. Because there are things that have happened to you that have made you who you are, that have been what they are, but you don't need to allow those to carry in your life to identify with you all the course of your life. Forgiveness is not saying, you know what, I'm going to just remove that. It's not forgetting what happened.
As a matter of fact, in Matthew, the 6th chapter, go with me if you're in Matthew 18. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says a lot about forgiveness in this verse. In this chapter, I should say. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 14. He says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you." But verse number 15, "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." It's a pretty heavy statement. Today I want to focus on the word forgive. The word forgive right there, the Greek word for forgive, literally in this sense means to walk away from. As a matter of fact, the same word in different senses in the Greek language, you know, when I say sense, like I can say I love pizza or I love my wife, but the sense of love is different. You understand what I say by sense? I don't love my wife the same way I love pizza. Amen, baby girl. I love you a lot more. The Greek word for forgive in the sense literally means and is used in the New Testament like this: to walk away from, to leave, or to divorce. So here Jesus isn't saying, okay, if your brother sins against you, Pastor, look, I love what you're talking about. You just said divorce. So if my brother sins against me, amen, I could divorce them. I could walk away from them, stick the hand in the face and say, no more. I'm not going to associate with you. No, Jesus says to walk away from the offense. To divorce, to separate, to leave literally behind the transgression that happened to you. He doesn't say to forget it, but he does say to walk away from it. And forgiveness is not forgetting what happened to you, because unfortunately I have not yet found a human that can, through some form of magical hypnosis or whatever it might be, forget the things that have happened to them. Why? Because we are like elephants when it comes to scars. We remember them all. But we can choose to divorce it. We can walk away from it. We can say, you know what? I'm not going to let that define me any longer. I'm not going to let that control me any longer. I'm not going to let that be who I am. Forgiveness is not forgetting what happened, but forgiveness is choosing to let it go. You see, many of you in your lives were victimized by somebody else. Whether you were victimized by words of what they said over you, literally victims to some sort of abuse, victims to circumstance or situation, you were victimized. And so often what happens in the victim mentality is we begin to think of ourselves as victims. But Jesus says, if you forgive, if you divorce the oppression, if you let go of what happened to you, my Father will divorce. Take that transgression that was held against you, and he will literally walk away from it, cast it into the sea of forgetfulness, and bring it back no more. He will do the same to you. And so Jesus is saying to you and I, to that sin, to that transgression, to that scar, to that wound that that person has given to us, he says, divorce the offense. And when you do, you are making the choice to say, I'm no longer going to walk out my life as a victim of abuse. Now I am going to walk out my life as a victor in Jesus Christ. Because what I have done against God, he forgave me. Now I will walk away from those things that have been done to me, just like Jesus did with my sins against him. Forgiveness is not forgetting what happened to you, but it is choosing to let it go, to divorce it, to walk away from it. Forgiveness is not condoning what happened. So often we think, if I forgive somebody, what I'm doing is I'm actually just telling them that it's okay of everything that they did. I'm condoning your actions. You know, I remember a long time ago, the very first schoolyard fight I got into. I remember the guy's name was John, and John was like the cool kid. And he was the tough guy in school, and it was back in school days when tetherball, when you'd hit that ball on a string, and everybody waited in line to play tetherball, and I said some words to John, and John challenged me to a schoolyard fight. And I remember that we got in a circle like everybody did, and we started swinging at each other, and John, he was a tough guy. He didn't even defend himself against me. He just said, give me your best shot. And I tried to wail on him a little bit, and he just said, okay, now it's my turn. And he beat the daylight out of me. You know what's funny about schoolyard fights, though? In schoolyard fights the next day, John and I were like best friends. Like the fight never happened. Like we needed to scuffle it out and kind of get out beyond it. And that everything else behind that was, hey, you know what, man? No big deal. We just kind of had to get that aggression out. And now we see that we're not so different, you and I. And let's be friends. And so often what we think of when it comes to the Bible mandating that we forgive somebody else is that we condone their actions by saying, hey, you know what? It's no big deal. Everybody does it. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody messes up. But you see, forgiveness is not condoning somebody else's sin or transgression. As a matter of fact, the Word of God tells us in James, the third chapter, verse number 13, he's talking about this. He says, for judgment without mercy is to the one who has shown no mercy. Look at what he says right here. He says, mercy triumphs over judgment. So often what happens is in our victim mentality, in the transgressions that happen to us, we want judgment to happen to that person. Why? Because we don't want to condone what they did. Somebody wronged me, I want you to pay the price for wronging me. Somebody murders somebody, I want to see you have the worst possible outcome in your life. Capital punishment, or I want you to live the rest of your life out in prison so that you could harm nobody else. But you know, there's case after case after case of people that have sat through the execution of somebody that took a loved one of their family. And they said that watching that person die brought no fulfillment or closure to their lives. Yet we think in our mindset that I can't forgive somebody because forgiving them is going to condone them. But you see, forgiveness is not condoning what somebody did. Forgiveness is walking in the mercy of grace. Because you and I did not deserve forgiveness from Jesus Christ. And in our forgiveness, God did not condone your sin. God didn't say through Jesus Christ, hey, you know what? Listen. When it comes to sin, hey, everybody does it. It's no big deal. Let's move on. Let's just be friends. He didn't do that. Why? Because our sin had a price to pay. Our sin had consequences. But you see, instead of condoning it, Jesus embraced the price. He recognized that our sin cost a lot. And he said, you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to walk out in grace, unmerited favor of God. God's sovereign divine ability, like Pastor Jim says, to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. That's grace. Jesus Christ says, you can't pay off your sins. You can't pay off your debt. But I'm not going to condone it. I'm not going to tell you no big deal, but I'm going to pay the ultimate price for it and redeem you from it. Forgiveness is not condoning what somebody else has done against you. Forgiveness is walking in the grace that Jesus Christ walked in when he forgave you and he forgave me the sins. That's what forgiveness is. And you know what? The person that transgressed against you, whether it's something big or something small, you may never see judgment here on earth. That person may never get caught for what they did. But walking out in mercy, because mercy triumphs over judgment. Because where would we be if God was not merciful to us in our transgressions? Pastor Luke, are you trying to say that my sin is as great as the person that transgressed against me? Of all the things that I've done bad in my life, I can't think of anything that would amount to what that person has done. Or what the worst person on earth has ever done. I mean, the things that people do, the things that people are capable, Pastor Luke, I can't even imagine that. But you see, Romans 3:23 tells us that we were all on the same playing field with God, separated by sin. But yet, because of our sin and despite of our sin, Romans chapter 5 tells us that Jesus Christ died while we were sinners to redeem us from the law. So in a sense, in the eyes of God, judgment will have its time, but mercy for you and I triumphs over judgment. Why? Because God was merciful to us when we deserved judgment. Therefore, our forgiveness, the act of walking out in forgiveness, is walking in the grace that Jesus Christ himself walked in with us. Are you guys with me today? Forgiveness is not ignoring how you feel. I feel. I'm an emotional person. Anybody else in here just say you're an emotional? Can you agree? Can anybody else be like, Pastor Luke, I'm an emotional? Some of the men in this place are like, nope. I'm a wall. Man, we are emotional. You're just emotional by yourself. You know that when you watch Pride and Prejudice alone, everybody, you'd be crying. You see, God created us with emotions. God created you with emotions. You have God-given things like anger, like sadness, like happiness, like joy. God gave you the ability to express and to feel emotions. As a matter of fact, God himself expresses and feels emotions. And forgiveness is not ignoring how you feel. But sometimes what happens is we allow emotions to control us. I don't feel like forgiving you right now. Let me just live out in my anger for a little bit longer. Anybody ever wanted to stew about something for a little while? Man, I'm a stewer. Man, I would be like, if they had a stewing cook-off, that would be me. And I'm not talking about the stew you could eat. I'm talking about the just sitting on it and just thinking about it. Man, I could just stew. It's time to forgive. I don't feel like forgiving right now. I feel like stewing. Spirit of God speaking to you and saying, man, it's time to let it go. No! Tomorrow. Today I want to think one more day. It's not ignoring how you feel. Because God gave you feelings, but it is choosing not to be controlled by those. God gave you emotions. Colossians chapter 3 says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. You see, Jesus didn't ignore how he felt in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying and asking God if there's any opportunity for this cup to pass by me. When he was so stressed out about the price that he was about to pay that his sweat was like blood coming out of him. You see, Jesus didn't ignore that. He just recognized that the tail end of that, he recognized that the other side of the hard reality of facing forgiveness, even though it hurts and even though it's costly, he recognized that there was a benefit to that and he embraced the price that he paid. And so forgiveness is not ignoring how you feel, but forgiveness is decided in the heart. It's decided in the heart. It's a decision that you're going to make on the inside of your heart to say, I don't feel like forgiving you. To be honest, you could say and you could cry out, I hate you for what you did. But forgiveness, it's not ignoring what that happened. But it's deciding I'm not going to allow that emotion to control me. I'm not going to allow that low point of my life to dictate who I am. I talked about it last week in forgiving yourselves. Man, I am an emotional roller coaster. My wife will tell you, babe, you can't nod like that. All right, you got to nod a little bit less. I'm like Mr. Up and then like boom, Mr. Down. And then like Mr. Up and boom, like Mr. Down. Like probably ought to just take some medication for it. I don't even know. I'm just kidding. And one of my mentors was like, look, you are way up here, you are way down here. You cannot allow yourself to be controlled by your emotions. You have control over your emotions. And forgiveness is deciding in your heart to make that decision. You know what? I'm going to let it go. I'm going to do not what I feel like doing. I'm going to do what Jesus Christ says I can do. Because Jesus Christ embraced the cross for me. The Bible tells us that Jesus, when he rose from the dead, that his scars were still in his hand and still in his side. They didn't go away. A constant reminder of the price that he paid for you and I. He didn't ignore it, but he did embrace the cost. And forgiveness is going to come at an expensive cost for you and I. But it's doable. It's attainable. It's achievable through Jesus Christ. Forgiveness. It's not forgetting what happened, it is choosing to let go. It's not condoning what happened, it is walking in grace. It is not ignoring how you feel, but it is decided in the heart. Jesus says these words in Matthew the 18th chapter, we were there, verse number 35. He says, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother. You know, forgiveness is not the words, I'm sorry. You ever been that way? Say sorry.
I'm sorry.
That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is deciding whether or not the apology ever comes your way. Because there are people that may never apologize for what they've done. But it's a decision that despite you hurting me, despite you saying, I'm sorry, I'm going to decide in my heart to divorce myself from that offense, to let it go, to walk away from it. A couple of years ago for Father's Day, our video department produced this really cool little video. Some members of our church put it together. And I just thought it was a really neat little illustration of the decision of forgiveness in the heart. Check it out.
Hello.
Is Steven here?
Who's asking?
It's me, your dad.
Come on in.
You always were a cute kid.
That's actually my son. What are you doing here?
Actually, I came to ask for forgiveness. Would you forgive me for missing out on your life? So, how old is he?
He's actually the same age I was when you left me. Why'd you stop visiting?
There was so much going on. I really can't even explain.
I missed you, Dad. Glad you're here.
Just like in that video, couldn't even say the reasons why, but it was a decision based in the heart to say, you know what? Despite how I feel, despite the judgment and the things that are due you for what you've done, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. Forgiveness is decided in the heart. Today, I just want to tell you how we can start the process of forgiveness and start the journey of forgiveness. And simply put, today, I can't even lead you in the next minute and 2 minutes of steps to lead you to forgiveness. But what I can tell you is, to not look to a man on a stage to tell you how to forgive, but to look to Jesus Christ who exemplified forgiveness at its best. And so the understanding of forgiveness is that forgiveness starts and is revealed through prayer. Forgiveness starts and is revealed through prayer. Some of you are holding on to some of the worst things in life. You're drinking poison every day of unforgiveness and bitterness. And Jesus, on multiple occasions, talks about forgiving one another through prayer, by giving it to God. As a matter of fact, in the book of Luke, in the 6th chapter, Jesus says these words. He says, "Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you." You know, my kids are at that age now, it's so much fun that we get to say their prayers together, and they pray, and Bjorn prays, and then Emma prays, and we teach them the Lord's Prayer. And you know, in Jesus' own model prayer, Jesus says these words, "Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us," or "forgive us of our debts as we forgive those our debtors." You see, in the prayer that Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. Jesus says, "Lord, forgive us as we forgive others." Because, you know, sometimes forgiveness seems like that mountain when you look at it. You said, God, I can't even see the summit. I can't even seem to get over it. I can't seem to get beyond the issues that have happened in my life and the things that people have done. My marriage is a wreck. My life is a wreck. My life is in pieces because of that person or because of that circumstance or whatever it might be. And I don't even know how to get to the top of that and to the other side. Jesus says, it starts with prayer. To go to God in prayer. God, forgive me and teach me to pray, to forgive those. I remember I was in a frustrating moment when I called Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah and I said, Mom, Dad, I need help. What do I do in this situation? They said, pray for that person. Are you kidding me? I thought you were going to tell me, give them a piece of my mind. No, pray for them. Pray for them. Pastor Luke, are you telling me to pray for that person that abused me? Yeah. Are you telling me to pray for that person that spoke so poorly of me? Yeah. That person who lied about me? Yeah. That person who hurt me? Yeah. It starts and it's revealed in prayer. As you pray, as you go to God, God begins to speak to you, hey, don't think those thoughts anymore. Don't say those words anymore. Let it go over here. I've got you on this, and I'm going to do something in their life. And you begin to relinquish through prayer your right to judgment. And you begin to pass on the fact that, God, my life is in your hands. And I surrender the outcome of my life completely and solely to you and your discretion and your judgment. Forgiveness starts, and it is revealed in prayer. Jesus includes it in his prayer. And sometimes we look at that mountain of forgiveness. Sometimes we look at that mountain and we say, there's no way I can get over it. There's no way I can get beyond it. Mark the 11th chapter, verse number 23. Jesus says, for I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes these things that he says, it will be done. He'll have whatever he says. Look what verse number 24 says. Therefore I say, whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. It's a pretty cool faith statement. Amen. Mountains moving. Look what verse number 25 says. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, whenever you stand praying, what are you praying for? That mountain to move. And Jesus says, when you're talking to that mountain, talking about moving, whenever you stand praying, if you've got unforgiveness, let it go. Forgive him. That your Father in heaven may forgive you of that trespasses. You know, sometimes that mountain that you need to move, is not a mountain that you're looking at. Sometimes the mountain that needs to be moved is the mountain of unforgiveness on the inside of you. And Jesus says, you can speak to that mountain and say, be thou removed. Offense, be thou removed. Pain, be thou removed. Bitterness, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And it starts in prayer, by going to prayer for the people that hurt you, for the people that wound you, for the people that use you, for the people that have transgressed against you, for the people that have done unforgivable things, to say, God, help me to forgive them because you have forgiven me. It starts in prayer. And so often what we want to do is we want to stew on it. But God says, I want you to lean on me for it. Speak to that mountain. Be thou removed, and it'll be cast into the sea. Sometimes that mountain that needs moving isn't in front of us, it's inside of us. There's an old saying out in the world, hurt people hurt people. And you've been hurt. We've all been hurt. And when you're hurt, you want to hurt somebody else. Why? Because they say it like this, misery loves company. But Paul the Apostle says something completely different in the book of Ephesians. Paul says it like this, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, that mountain to be cast into the sea with all malice. And he says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. There's a lot of hurt Christians out there. Sometimes we hurt people because we're hurting ourselves. But you see, you don't have to live in unforgiveness. Why? Because Jesus Christ said, listen, I gave you forgiveness, mercy, and grace. Not so that you could live life and be happy, so that you could give it to the world. so that you could extend the opposite culture of what our society says, an eye for an eye, and to bring that spirit of tenderheartedness, that spirit of mercy, that spirit of grace, the spirit that says, I'm going to pray for you when you hurt me. You've wounded me, and I'm going to bless you. What? Because that's what Jesus Christ did for each and every one of us. And when hurt people, blessed people, bless people. And you don't have to be a hurt people who hurts other people. Because Jesus Christ forgave you of your iniquities and your sins, and He forgave me of my iniquities and my sins. And although it might seem impossible for us to do it, we don't have to be hurt people hurting people. We can be, because of Jesus Christ, through the commandment of forgiveness, a blessed person who blesses other people. But it starts, and it's revealed in prayer. This week, remember, forgiveness, it's not forgetting what happened. It's not condoning what happened, and it's not ignoring how you feel. But it is choosing to let it go, divorcing yourself from that. It is choosing to walk in grace and in mercy. And it is deciding to start in your heart. Whether or not that person ever says, I'm sorry, you say in your heart, I'm going to let it go. Because that's what Jesus Christ did to us. And how do we do that? It starts, and it's revealed in prayer with God through Jesus Christ, leaning on it. Talk it out. Walk it out, the power of forgiveness in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.